verse 11. There's a Jude's only one chapter, by the way. It's just a few verses. And we could read the whole book here. It wouldn't be a whole lot to read. I think we will. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read it to you quickly, because all of it is pertaining to what I'm going to tell you today. Judah, and his name should be Judah, because this is Judas, Jude, and Judah were three different names that the King James Version used for the same person, and the same name. It should be Judah. And I think if you have New American Standard, if you look over in the column, it'll straighten that out too. Judah, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, brother James, to those who are the called. The word there is elect. Beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt it a dire necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. By the way, that word crept in there is the only place it's used in the New Testament. It means to come in the side door or under the cabinet, could come in a secret passageway. Okay? Those who were beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into unbridled lust is what the term there is. Licentious, you can look that one up, and that word comes in the book of James also, and who deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you that you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. You got that one on down there, brother? Mm-hmm. And the angels who do not keep their own domain, but abandon their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same manner, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties. There's so much in between these lines that you cannot believe it. I could go on and on. You could preach this sermon, this book, for a year. I'm going to be teaching this book on Wednesday night, the book of Jude. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses and did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Your sins destroy you, is what he's saying. And wickedness. Woe to them, though they have gone the way of Cain for pay. They have rushed headlong into the era of Balaam and perished in rebellion of Korah. These men are those who are hidden menaces. They are mimes. What you call... these are traps. These are... this traps. These are that which kill you. That lay in wait for you. Okay?
That's in verse 12.
This word, hidden reefs, it means that they're stumbling blocks. But what is a hidden reef to an ocean? Sudden death. It is like the poison of a scorpion or a most venomous snake on earth. They bite you because you don't see them there. That's what it's talking about. Feast when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, double dead, two times dead, born of Satan, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foaming, wandering stars, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. About these also Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesying, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and convict the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Boy, I tell you, this is something else. Some hard... Hello, Brother Levy. Mm-hmm. We're in the book of Jude. These are the grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining advantage. I want you to know one thing. Everything that Jude has said so far is in the book of Enoch. Every line from the very beginning all the way down. He's recycling it by inspiration, of course. But you, beloved, ought to remember that the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, literally, that they kept on saying to you, that in the last day there shall be mockers, falling after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, worldlings, as they used to say in a generation or two ago. Remember that term, worldlings, brother? Devoid of the Spirit of God is what it's talking about. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on a most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. I have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. On some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep and guard you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before time and now, forever. Amen. Well, what a book that you're going to preach tonight, brother.
You know, the amazing thing is here, Jude has everything that's so proper of perspective, how that his own earthly brother, like flesh,
yes,
call it that.
Now, this was the half-brother of Jesus.
How he could bow his knee to him and say, he is my Savior, and giving these accolades. But yet, in today's world, when we think of Mary and her relationship and the people with them, how that they think it's such a set apart. Mm-hmm. Mary should be on her knees, bowing in the same way.
Yes. All of them, this was their Savior and potentate.
Yeah.
All right. Let me introduce you to something. I just got this back here the other day. Hadn't read it for 30 years. It's called The Book of Enoch, the Prophet. And it's printed by Wizard Press. This is another one that you would really enjoy, Brother Bill, if you can find it. I don't even know. It's translated by Richard Lawrence. In 1700 and something, this book was discovered again. Enoch. It's quoted almost in every book in the New Testament. I hadn't read it in so long. Matter of fact, I had forgotten so much about it, I thought it was in the Apocrypha. And it is not. It was lost for many, many years. Pieces of it were quoted. It was handed down as verbal tradition among the Jews constantly through generations. It was Enoch told them, it told his son Noah, that you, his grandson actually, great-grandson I guess, he told Noah to repeat these things and make sure that all of the people of the line of faith knew the prophecies that he was going to give them. And what were they?
The Savior's coming.
The Savior's coming. But it told the whole history of Israel. It told about the call of Abraham. And so many people, there are a lot of people that just do not accept it at all. The one thing that makes it unacceptable to many people. Now, James quoted it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, everybody quoted Enoch. Jude wrote it directly down here, and most people, and even the book of Jude, by many people, is not inspired of God because he quoted Enoch. Because Enoch was looked upon as an apocryphal book. What does the word apocrypha mean?
Not canonized, I guess.
No, it means secrets.
Secret.
All right? It means secrets. It's covered. It's cryptic. All right? These were secrets. And these, the secrets of the universe, Enoch said he was telling his people. One of the very first things he told them was how that God had set up the seasons. And he told of the stages of the moon and of the sun and when it rises and falls. And by the way, he did it in such a way that he had to be near the Ur of the Chaldees, someplace over there when it happened near Babylon. It was not... what he was telling here, if you take it line it out according to the stars that he's given. I mean, he gives extreme detail. He says that angels are over to keeping the stars to line up and go in the orbits that they do. And the sun and the moon and everything. He said it's held in order. First of all, by the Almighty God's authority. And then he has other angelic forces that are going through all of this holding. You know, one of them's over the sun, and one of them's over the moon, and one of them's over this, and one of them's over that. And he tells all the stages of the moon of every month and every year, and he lays out the days of 364-day year at that time. He talks about a time when the earth would move its center.
A time in the future.
Uh-huh. Everything was future to him.
Yeah.
He's the seventh from Adam now, remember that. Every time is future to him. But he talks about a time when the earth would change its axis, and if you go back in history, when was it? No. Well, the earth was divided. The earth wasn't divided at this time. What?
Twice. Once during the Babylon when he was holding the deal up.
That's right. Who called for the sun to stand still? Joshua. He talks about what would happen with Joshua. He talks about Egypt. He talks about the captivity of God's people. And he just keeps on. I mean, this whole part of here where he talks about clouds without water, angels being kept in this thick darkness of gloom. It's sophon skotion. Skotion is what it is in the original language. Thick. Darkness that you can feel, and the only way I know how to describe that, if you've ever been in Carlsbad Caverns out on the bottom of that thing and they turn the lights out, you can feel that darkness, I'll tell you. It's scary. Have you ever been in a total, absolute darkness? There's no way you can see at all. That's the way it was. That's the way it is down in that Carlsbad Caverns when they turn all the lights out. Well, this bottomless pit, what he talks about here, all this that in the Bible that Paul refers to, that Peter refers to, is all in the book of Enoch.
What language was that originally written in?
You said the copy that they found was in Hebrew and Chaldee. And Aramaic. There was some Aramaic in it. It was basically a Hebrew-based language. Okay? This guy, Richard Lawrence, was a Hebrew scholar at Oxford. And somebody gave him a copy of it, and he translated it. He said he didn't know whether to believe it or not. He thought maybe the guy... He said he knew it was pre-Christian literature. This had to be written before Christ. He thinks 300 years. You know, he didn't believe it was Enoch that wrote it. But a lot of evidence has turned up since his day when he did this 200 years ago. You know, we've had evolution and all this kind of stuff. Well, Enoch just absolutely knocks the way out of all of the dark ages. Because he said that the earth and the sun and the moon and all the stars were in orbit. You know, the Catholic Church said that the earth was flat and held up by and everything out there was beasties out there off the edge of the earth. You know, you've heard the old stories and seen some of the old pictures. Well, Enoch here tells all about the earth being round and sphere, and he talks about the earth going to be divided. He talks about Noah's three sons that hadn't even been born yet. He talks about the earth going to be destroyed by water, and that Noah would build an ark. And he also, Noah's father came to him and asked him, remember, who are the people that made it through the flood? How many people made it through the flood?
Eight.
How many?
Nine.
People made it through the flood.
One of them went to heaven in the chariot.
That's right.
Enoch
made it through the flood. All right. And by the way, according to the book of Enoch, they knew the flood was coming for hundreds of years. And people have been scoffing for hundreds of years because God said that He was going to bring judgment for hundreds of years. It's it sounds just like today, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. That's what they're quoting here, is this book. Neat. I was just absolutely... Of course, I've got a lot more learning under my belt now than 30 years ago when I read it the last time. But I'm enthused, thrilled, surprised. Everything. I spent the last week just absolutely going through this book with a fine-tooth comb. If you look at it, I scratched it all up worse than I did the first time when I read it. And I realized, and there's cross-references in that and through all of the books of the New Testament, they basically all quoted Enoch. And when you read the book of Enoch, and you have to realize that this was pre-Christian literature. I mean, this was written before Christ. It talks about the church. It talks about the Gentiles. It talks about Israel. It talks about Abraham. It talks about Solomon. And David. It tells history. If Enoch, according to this book, told the whole history of the nation of Israel before they ever existed. We know that God preached the gospel to Abraham because the New Testament tells us that. So, what was the gospel? The good news of the coming of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. Remember what I told you so many times as we studied the first, the second, and the third chapter of the book of Genesis? That Jesus would be the seed of the woman, not of the seed of the man. You know what Enoch calls Jesus Christ? The Son of Woman. Not the Son of Man. He calls Him the Son of Man also. Daniel quoted Enoch in his book. When he refers to the Messiah, he calls Him the Son of Man also, but specifically in different places he calls Him the Son of the Woman, the promised seed. How interesting. When the sin of Adam does not come through the seed of the woman, does it? But through man. One thing that has absolutely turned so many people off through the ages and down through the years, Enoch talks about the angels coming down to this earth. Not only does he talk about them, but he names the angels that married or had children with men, with women. Now, Bullinger, G.H. Pember, and some of the greatest minds, even Eric Sauer, I can't even name them all, G.H. Lane, all of these people believe that the angels cohabited with women and brought forth a race of horrible people. Enoch names them. He tells you who they were, the names of them, what all happened. And he said that they taught women to be crafty and evil. That they invented cosmetics and jewelry. He showed them all of these things. You read all this, you look back there and you wonder, you know. And then you see places like in the book of Jude where it talks about these angels that did not keep their estate. I'm not saying that's true or not true. I have taught against it all of my life. But I know exactly where G.H. Kemper, where Bullinger and all of them got their information. They believe that the book of Enoch was absolutely inspired of God, and this book was written in the seventh generation from Adam. Levine.
I thought angel beings can't have no kind of sex relations with men.
That's what Jesus said in the New Testament. They don't do that. He could have also said that maybe they weren't supposed to do that. God stopped it if they did it, didn't he? He completely, totally... And the Messiah to come, the Messiah of the Messiah, the Antichrist, the false Messiah. Maybe this Rosemary's Baby and all of that kind of stuff, maybe there's more to it than that. I don't know. This is probably the most weighty thing against the book that I can think of. But now as I look, even in the book of Jude, and read in the book of 1 and 2 Peter, and all the other references that they have made concerning these angelic forces that rebelled against God, and some of the things that happened during that period of time, I don't know sometimes. I just don't know. There's a lot of things that I don't know that I'm still learning about. All I got for 12 years studying the seminary and earning two doctorates was just a license to learn, that's all. That's all I got. I try to bring to you some of the things that I've skimmed off of it. And this is one of the things that I'm bringing to you today. Well, let you think about it. Let you read it. Consider it from your own perspective. But I tell you what, there's dynamite in there. The things that he completely repeats over and over again is the same things that Peter and Paul and James did. Unbridled lust that he talks about. This was quoted from Enoch.
It seems like Satan uses lust to use man. You know?
Yes, yeah. It is. And he tells that in the book of Enoch. He specifies this.
I think that's the only way he does it.
There was no lust. There was no lust, he said, in the earth before the angels cohabited with women and taught them horrible sexual things. And that's where it came from, he said. And of course, it wasn't very many generations after that until what? Supposedly, according to the book of Enoch, that God brought the flood upon the earth. Many of these people, these scholars, G.H. Lang, Bullinger, and all them, think that God rid the earth of all of these descendants of these angelics. And not only did he do that, he said that God made them watch their children die in this flood. That they would have to look on as their children, and they could not do anything to intercede to save their race. Of these ungodly race.
Because God made angels twofold, he made man threefold.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would kind of
wonder
about that.
I don't understand everything about it, brother. But I just wanted to bring to you something. Somebody wrote into discovertheword.com about the book of Enoch a couple of years ago, and I didn't give them a very good answer on it. And I try to do that, and this is one thing I'm going to have Kevin send this tape to this person. I don't know. I lean toward that this book is inspired of God. Maybe not everything that was handed down in the book came because a lot of it was oral history. And you know how that can get messed up. But the New Testament writers quoted him so much that I think that this oral history that was handed down by this Jewish nation, the secrets, and they talked about this by the quotations of their fathers, the Mishnah, and all of the rabbis that quoted, they quoted Enoch constantly. All right? Now, let me cross-reference some things for you. If I can find it here real quick, like, I'm going to give you some of the some things. There were Greek translations and Hebrew and all kinds of the book of Jude. Now, the book of Enoch, it says, and a voice was heard from heaven. And he's talking about the time that Christ would be on this earth. Matthew 3 and 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, and Enoch, again, the elect shall possess light. Look at the word elect. Over and over and over again, the Apostle Paul and Jude and Peter talked about the elect of God. Enoch constantly uses the term elect and the term predestination and foreordination. Talked about people that were designed and cut out for this wickedness, remember, in the book of Jude? That right? That was all straight from Enoch. The elect shall possess light and joy and peace, and they shall inherit the earth. Again, Enoch says, he shall select the righteous and holy from among them, for the day of their salvation has approached, and they shall become angels in heaven. And their countenances shall be bright with joy, and it should be as angels in heaven. And the earth shall rejoice, and the elect possess it. And the New Testament says, and in the resurrection they are as the angels of God in heaven. All right? Then shall the righteous shine. Now this is Matthew 13 and verse 43. Shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Enoch says, those too who acquired gold and silver shall justly and stunningly perish. Woe to you who are rich, for in your riches you have trusted, but from your riches you shall be removed. And the book of James says, now then, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that have come upon you. And Luke says, woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Again, Enoch says, woe unto you sinners, who say that we are rich, possess wealth, and have acquired everything which we can desire. Now then, we will do whatsoever we dispose to do, for we have amassed silver, and our barns are full, and they shall surely die suddenly. Now again, what Jesus said in the New Testament. Compare the parable of the rich man, whose barns are full, who said to himself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now remember, Enoch has to be pre-Christian literature, even if it's a book. It was the earliest that it could have been written was 300 B.C. It talks about Nebuchadnezzar in this book. It talks about Cyrus, the king. Talked about all of the history as you see the prophecies in the Old Testament and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of them. All of this was in the book of Enoch. Also, another Enoch says, and I will place each of them on a throne of glory and a glory peculiar to his own. He talks about, and I think I said last Wednesday night in the last Revelation class, that he said that as you look in the high in the skies and the heaven, you see stars that are brighter than other stars. Sometimes you have to get telescopes to look at them, don't you? Some of them are so weak. He said, and so, in such a way, God will glorify the people of God, those that have done great deeds for Him and the right purpose, and those that have not. They're going to be like the stars of heaven, some brighter and some dimmer. And there again, he talks about it here. Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. For there is no respect of persons with God. Enoch says, in his judgment, he pays no respect to persons. Remember how there's no respect for persons with God? Where will the habitation of sinners be who have rejected the Lord of spirits? He called him the Lord of spirits over and over again. It would have been better for them to have never been born. In Matthew 26 and verse 2, woe unto that man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be good for that man if he had not been born. Again. In Enoch it says, so they that sacrifice to devils as if they were gods. They sacrificed, and this is one of the things that he said that the angels taught women, is divination and necromancy and calling on demon spirits. He said this is where it all began. And it all began with the mediums and women. The angels have taught that women and their offspring. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 20, Paul says, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. Again, the angel Raphael addressing Enoch in the region of the dead. He names these angels over different things. The Jews always believed that there were seven archangels. We believe in three as Christendom. Enoch said there were seven. And he named all seven of them. He named them. All right? Raphael, addressing Enoch in the region of the dead, here their souls are separated by a great chasm. In Luke 16 and verse 20, says, Abraham addressing Dives from the region of the blessed, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed. I just thought I'd bring out some of these. Is this interesting?
Oh, yeah.
Are you? Is this? You want me to keep on going on here? We know that Enoch walked with God, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then God took him, and he's the type of the rapture. Another one was Elijah. By the way, the book of Enoch says that he will be one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. With Elijah. Remember what people said, Elijah and Enoch will be the two witnesses? Enoch says that they are the ones that will be the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. What do you think about that?
Must have been one of those conversations you had with God.
Augustine quoted Enoch tremendously in his writings. So did Eusebius. And many of what we call the Athanasian fathers, Brother Levine.
The only way I could see is the angel handed intercourse with man or whatever, and then unless they possess a man, a human being, the spirit and the mind possesses that human being and then has some kind of relationship. But I don't know about it.
Well, I don't either. I'm just telling you, that's one of the reasons that this book has not been accepted. This is one of the reasons, that is the main reason that this book has not been accepted. But what if it's true?
It's got a lot of truth about it.
Yeah.
I
mean,
the
one all right.
The only way I can see it happen.
Yeah.
In the flesh.
Yeah, in the Garden, chapter 6, verse 4.
The what?
Chapter 6, verse 4, Genesis.
Yeah.
They're coming in.
Now, Enoch says that these were angels. Most people say that they were the faith line being mixed up with Cain's line. Enoch didn't agree with that. Neither does any Hebrew literature. All Hebrew literature turns to the book of Enoch and its interpretation. I don't know if you knew it or not, but that's what it is. All right. A cloud then snatched me up, placing me at the extremity of the heavens, and there I saw another vision. I saw the habitations and the couches of the saints, the beds of the saints, the dwelling places of the saints, which was with the angels, under the wings of the Lord's spirits, all holy and elect sung before him in appearance like a blaze of fire, their mouths being full of blessings and their lips glorifying the name of the Lord. All right. 2 Corinthians 12 and 12, and I will come to visions and revelations. Who's talking here? 2 Corinthians. Paul. What happened to Paul at one time? He was stoned to death, and he died, and his spirit went to heaven. This is accepted by most people. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Enoch says it wasn't lawful for all the world to know what had happened, what he saw, the secrets that God had told him and he gave them to his nation. Revelation 19 and verse 1, and I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor to the power unto the Lord our God. Colossians 2 and verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The treasures of the knowledge of the wisdom of the secrets of the knowledge are hid in who? Colossians 2 and 3, in Christ Jesus. And here it says in the book of Enoch, this is the Son of Man who will reveal all the treasures that which is concealed. All the sacred things, all the treasures, all the glories. Enoch again says, then they said to their Lord, the King, Thou art Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings. And the throne of thy glory is forever and ever, forever and ever is thy name sanctified and glorified. Thou art blessed and glorified. Thou hast made all things. Thou hast possessed power over all things. All things are open and manifest before thee. And behold, all things and nothing can be concealed from you. Revelation 17 and verse 14, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Revelation 4 and verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Hebrews 4 and 13, Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in Thy in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Revelation 22 and verse 2, On either side of the river there was a tree of life, which had bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Remember, the book of Enoch has to at least be 300 years before Christ. And look, I bless the Lord of glory, the everlasting King, because He has prepared this tree for the saints, formed it, and declared that He would give it to them. The sweet odor shall enter into their bones, and they shall live a long life on the earth as thy forefathers have lived. Neither in the days shall sorrow, distress, and punishment afflict them. And Revelation verse 2 and 7, To him that overcometh I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Do you see how closely related this is? Enoch again says, And behold, a single star fell from heaven. Where did we study that? In the New Testament.
Revelation.
All right. Revelation 9 and 1, And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Enoch says, All the angels of power. And 2 Thessalonians 1, it says, And the angels of his power. Jude 6. Okay, now they don't quote that one as coming from Enoch, but it did. To Michael, also the Lord said, Go and announce his crime to Samaiasa. This is another one. He names these angels. And to the others who are with him, who have been associated with women. Bind them for 70 generations underneath the earth, even to the day of judgment, and the consummation until the judgment, which shall last forever, be completed. Then shall they be taken away into the lowest depths of the fire in torments, and be in confinement, shall they be shut up forever. Okay? Book of Jude says, And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of a great day. 2 Peter 2 and 4 says, God spared not the angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell and committed them to the pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. That's exactly what Enoch has said. Revelation 20 and verse 10, The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Enoch talks about this place where there's waterfalls of fire. and the whole place is just a lake of fire. And it's a rivers of fire running through this place. The streams of fire all over. I beheld columns of fire struggling together to the end of the abyss, and deep was their descent. But neither its measurement nor magnitude was I able to discover. Uriel, another one of the angels, he names, one of the holy angels said, "This is the prison of the angels, and here they are kept forever. And in the days of sinners, the years shall be shortened, and everything done on earth shall be subverted and disappear in its season. In those days, the fruits of the earth shall not flourish in their season. Heaven shall stand still. The moon shall change its laws." And laws? What was the moon? What was? Enoch talks about the laws of the moon, the seasons, the four seasons of the year, and all of this. He said, "The moon shall change its laws and not be seen at its proper period, and all the classes of the stars shall be shut up against sinners. And trouble shall seize them when they shall behold the Son of Woman sitting upon the throne of His glory." Who is that Son of Woman? The promised seed. All right? Matthew 24, 7, 21, 22, 29, and 30. "And there shall be famines and earthquakes in diverse places, great tribulation such as was not seen since the beginning of the world, in this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened." Remember what Enoch said? "There should be no flesh saved. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And then it says, Enoch, concerning this, "He sat upon the throne of His glory, while the book of the living was opened in His presence, and while all the powers which were above the heavens stood around about Him." By the way, in King James translates that book of the living wrong, doesn't it? It calls it the book of life. This is the book of the living ones. All right? "And in those days shall the earth deliver up from her womb, and hell deliver up from hers that which has been received, and destruction shall restore that which it owes. He shall select the righteous and the holy from among them. In those days shall the mouth of hell be opened, into which they shall be immersed. Hell shall destroy and swallow up sinners from the face of the elect, out of the presence of the God's people." Revelation 20, 11, 13, 15. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life." The book of the living, remember? "And the dead which were judged out of these things that were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." Remember, this book that we just read before had to be printed at least 300 years before Christ. At least that. "And whatsoever was not found, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 5 and verse 11, "I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 of thousands." Enoch says, "And after this I beheld thousands of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 and an infinite number of people standing before the Lord of Spirits." The exact same words. Also Enoch says, "In that day shall the elect ones sit upon a throne of glory and shall choose their conditions and countless habitations." And it says in Matthew 25, 31 through, "Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all the nations, and He shall separate them one from another." And John 14 and verse 2, "In My Father's house are many habitations." All right, it says many mansions, but it says habitations in the original language, as Enoch translated it. heaven shall depart and pass away, and new heaven shall appear. And the word of his mouth shall destroy all sinners, and all ungodly who shall perish at his presence. Trouble shall come upon them as upon a woman in travail. This is Enoch. One portion of them shall look upon another, and they shall be astonished and shall abase their countenances, and trouble shall seize them when they shall behold the Son of Woman sitting upon the throne of his glory. Remember what I said about the Son of Woman? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is the book of Revelation 22 and verse 1. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 9. Who shall be punished for everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? Where did they say they would be removed to, Enoch? From the presence of God and his people. 2 Thessalonians 5 and 3, or 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3. Then sudden destruction come upon them as prevail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8. That the wicked whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Exactly the same words that Enoch wrote. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Matthew 13:42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. Matthew 25:41. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for what? The devil and his angels. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. Revelation 20 and 10. Now, I beheld that a valley in which arose a strong smell of sulfur. This is Enoch. Which became mixed with waters. And the valley of the angels who had been guilty of seduction burned underneath its soil. Through the valley also rivers of fire were flowing, in which the angels shall be condemned who seduce the inhabitants of the earth. Now will I point out a mystery. Many sinners shall turn and transgress against the word of unrighteous. They shall speak evil things. They shall utter falsehoods. In 1 Timothy 4 and 12, again it says, the Spirit shall say it saith expressly that in the latter times some shall fall away from the faith through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies. And remember what I said, what it said in the book of Jude? In the last days, people will come in through a side door, through a secret passage, and seduce people. Well, we're almost finished here. In that place I beheld a fountain of righteousness which never failed, encircled by many springs of wisdom. Of these all the thirsty drank and were filled with the wisdom, having their habitation, the righteous, the elect, and the holy. In John 14 and verse 14, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give unto him shall never thirst, and the water that I shall give to him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. That's almost directly from Enoch, isn't it? Revelation 21, verse 6, and I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of water of life freely. Enoch again says he has preserved the lot of righteous because they have hated and rejected this world of iniquity and have detested all its works and in ways in the name of the Lord's spirits. Galatians 1 and 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God our Father. 1 John 2, 15 says, love not the world nor the things that are of the world. And then, in Enoch says, behold, he comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon them and destroy the wicked and reprove all the carnal for everything which the sinful and ungodly have done and committed against him, who utter with their mouths unbecoming language against God and speak harsh things of his glory. Jude 14 and 15. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convict all of the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. What a... It's been a delight to me to look at this. I thought I'd share it with you I think every one of us ought to read the Apocrypha. That is all the books of the Apocrypha. You can get them from a Catholic, or even some, you can buy a little book of the Apocrypha. You'd be surprised how much you can learn and understand from this. Why should you read it?
Do you know what the difference between right and wrong is? I mean, you just, and some of it probably verifies what our own book says.
Yeah.
Some of it would be against it, but yeah, you'd have to know two sides.
How many of you ever read magazines? Mm-hmm. And stories in magazines and stuff? Mm-hmm. All right. This is what we call sacred literature. The Apocrypha is. Many of the early Baptist people believed in different books in the Apocrypha, especially 1st and 2nd Maccabees. And if you look in all Hebrew literature, they accept 1st and 2nd Maccabees just as scripturally and inspired, they believe, as 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles.
Do they accept the Book of Enoch?
Some people, well, the Book of Enoch.
The
Book of Enoch was lost for over 1,000 years.
It isn't the Captain Bible.
The Book of Enoch? No. Yeah. It's not. When they put their Bible together, it didn't exist. It hadn't been found again yet. Only bits and pieces. We know that Jerome, we know that Eusebius, Tertullian. Tertullian. Who was Tertullian?
He's the one that wrote the Latin Vulgate.
No. Jerome.
That's wrong.
Jerome. Who's Tertullian?
Okay,
who was Polycarp?
Polycarp, he was a disciple of John.
Okay, Polycarp believed that the Book of Enoch, and he had a copy of it somehow or another, he believed that the Book of Enoch was inspired of God, and he wrote about it, and he quoted the Book of Enoch. Okay, Tertullian, which was his disciple, all right, they quoted from the Book of Enoch at that time, and then all of a sudden, the Book of Enoch just was vanished. It was gone. I don't know what happened. There's no copies of it. Some of the after about the 3rd century A.D., okay, there was no more said about it. Until all of a sudden in the 1700s, a copy of it was found in Ethiopia. A copy of the Old Testament. Now, who went to Ethiopia? The Queen of Sheba. All right? And the Queen of Sheba supposedly raised up a race from the descendants of Solomon. Okay? In the Book of Enoch, it talked about Solomon. Now, if the Queen of Sheba went to Africa or Ethiopia, what would she have taken with her?
Something about Solomon.
The Old Testament that they had at that time. And guess what? What's the oldest book in the Bible that we know of verified?
Job.
Guess where the Book of Enoch is placed in that Bible that was found in that area where the Queen of Sheba was? Right before Job was the Book of Enoch. And that's where it was found. From those people. That's where it showed up. The Psalms, a lot of the Psalms and the Proverbs and things that Solomon wrote are so much identical to many of the sayings in the Book of Enoch. Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, the things you read is a lot of things in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And, like, for instance, like the disciples wrote the books, I mean, people are going to wonder if this is way before. Maybe for Christ.
Yeah. Well, was Isaiah before Christ?
Yeah.
About 800 years. How about the Book of Daniel? Was that Daniel write about Michael and Gabriel and all of these guys? Got Enoch's name? The disciples were absolutely inspired to write what they wrote.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to say, a lot of things that
in the Book of Enoch, they were quoting. And if you'll read some of the Athanasian fathers, They will say that Paul was quoting what Enoch said in this book, that James was quoting what Enoch said. And did Paul ever quote a pagan prophet? Yeah, he did. Absolutely. Did you know that? Paul quoted many pagan prophets and many pagan... He quoted a lot of those guys. He didn't say, "I'm quoting so-and-so." Eat, live, drink, and be merry, for the morrow we die. Did he say that? Who was he quoting? A pagan poet. Because they were familiar with who it was. If I said to you today, "Don't worry, one of these days the chickens are going to come home to roost." What am I saying? A judgment coming. Well, what is that, the chickens are going to come home to roost? In the 1800s, that was a proverb. Do you think Paul, when he spoke to these people on Mars Hill, they knew? It was just a common saying that they used, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die."
They knew what he was talking about.
That was common language among those days. Many times that they used. And when Paul or when James or when Matthew, Mark, or Luke or any of these guys quoted Enoch among the Jewish people, it was common because this was handed down. Dakota. What? Roost? Remember, and look at, you don't remember our chicken pens at home, Dakota? Okay, you remember there's a roost in every one of those chicken pens from the get up on and set up there on their feet at nighttime? That's a roost. Okay. The chickens that come home to roost.
You know, in the books of Judith and Susanna there in the pocket, they tell little stories about Daniel, and it really gives a personal thing of how Daniel lived and how Daniel judged in those days.
Mm-hmm.
It just really reads interesting.
There are some things that you can learn in there. I'm not saying that all of that stuff is inspired, nor even all the book of Enoch. We don't know how much was changed. Remember the New Testament? We studied in Greek, we studied the text of the New Testament. How much of the New Testament has been twisted up in the King James Version?
Didn't you say that the book of Enoch was made in two different languages?
The copy that they had was comprised using basic Hebrew, but also Chaldean words. Does Hebrew use Chaldean words?
Mm-hmm.
Sure does. What is one of the words that, the two words that are Chaldean or Persian that come through Hebrew, then into Greek, and then into English? What are two words?
Amen.
Amen. Paradise. Those two words. Do you understand what I'm talking about? These words, these old words, were in, and by the way, they had to predate the book of Daniel. Daniel was written, the first part of the book of Daniel was written in Hebrew. Part of the book of Daniel, from one period of the book of Daniel, was written in Chaldean. Did you know that? Not in Hebrew, but in Chaldee. And that it was finished in Hebrew again. It goes Hebrew, Chaldee, and then Hebrew again. Did you know? Did any of you know that? I'm telling you the very verses and chapters where it ends and begins. That's the same way with the book of Enoch. It was splattered throughout there. But it had to be before Daniel. Many people said it had to be before Daniel. Okay? I hope that you have learned something, experienced something. Whatever literature you read, or even if you read the book of Enoch, or the Athanasian Fathers, or what we call the Didache. How many of you have heard of the Didache? That was the teachings. The teachings of Polycarp and Barnabas. How many of you ever heard of Barnabas? Did you know that Barnabas supposedly wrote a book? Alright. Read some of these things. Don't swallow it hook, line, and sinker. But be aware of it. I've heard many people led astray Remember when the Ark of the Covenant, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark came out? Now, I remember Tony and Hernando, they came to my house and watched that Raiders of the Lost Ark when it first came out. It was really neat. But you know what? The first and second Maccabees tells you where the Ark of the Covenant is. It is not in Egypt. It is not in some weird land. Now, it doesn't say that there aren't copies of them, because there was a copy of the Ark of the Covenant taken to Ethiopia, wasn't there? Well, wasn't there?
Yeah.
When the Queen of Sheba went there, along with the writings that we now have. If it wasn't for the Queen of Sheba, I don't think we'd have this book at all. Because the only copy we have of this, besides what's quoted by the Anti-Nicene Fathers and what's quoted in the Old Testament rabbis, what they have quoted from Enoch.
And I watched a documentary about the Ark of the Covenant, and there's a guy that believed, beyond a shadow of doubt, that the Ark is in this temple or in this church in Ethiopia.
Well, see, well, guess what?
It's a copy.
It sure could be a copy of it over there, couldn't it? Now, why couldn't it be? But where is the real Ark of the Covenant?
Mount
Nebo, where God showed Moses the last days, the same mountain where God buried Moses. We wouldn't know at all that the devil came on the scene and tried to get the body of Moses if it wasn't for the book of Judah.
Michael the Archangel confessed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at the things. I'm just telling you, be a student. Be a student. Be a student.
I was going to just say, just like, you know, that incident right there between where Satan trying to get Moses' body,
uh-huh,
and Michael interfered with it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I think is maybe Satan trying to get his body is possessed it. Using
it. He could have used it for a relic. Israel would have used that body for a relic, and they would have never, never. I mean, they thought that Moses was God. As far as they were concerned, Moses was God. And so they would have had a physical God to carry around with them, and that's what Satan wanted. I really believe that. I think that's what he wanted, but God interceded, didn't he?
Idol worship.
According to the book of Enoch, all idol worship began when the angels married women or cohabited with. They didn't marry women, they cohabited with women. And raised this race of giants, they said.
What's the difference?
Huh?
Cohabit and
well, that's the word marriage. That's what it means. That the word marriage means to, when two people become one flesh, yeah. But he said all of the wicked things all began then.
That's
when it began. And according to the book of Genesis, that something like that happened, or that was exactly the angels cohabiting with women or whatever it was something happened in the line of faith, and God interceded. Now, God is not going to destroy the world by water anymore, is he? He's going to destroy it by fire this time. And it's not because it shouldn't be. Is the world any worse now or any better now than it was in the days of Noah? No. And according to the book of Enoch, they were preaching for hundreds of years before Noah was born that the flood was coming. And when Noah was born, they said Enoch's grandchild, I believe, was when Enoch was born, he came forth, or not Enoch, but Noah was born, he came out of his mother's womb speaking, and it scared him to death. He said that he went to and looked up Enoch, and he says, "This is weird. I'm afraid to go back home." And this little baby came out and started talking to me and said the end was coming. And when he opened up his eyes, it was like the sun shining at me. I mean, he scared me to death. I mean, I took off and started looking for you, Grandpa. What's going on here? He said, don't worry about it. He said, "Is this some kind of demon or something? What's going on here?" He said, "Don't worry about it. This is the deliverer that's been born." that I've been talking about all these years. He's the one that's going to save the world. The world's going to become so wicked. And then he's going to have three sons. One black one, one red one, and one white. And they're going to propagate the race of the whole world again. But he said, don't worry about it. Man's going to become evil again. He's going to have to do something else. God's going to have to bring judgment again. He's going to have to divide the earth and the continents. All of this was in this little old book. It's pretty neat. I encourage you to try to get a copy of that and read it for just for fun, if nothing else.
Lay that on me again. It's Enoch.
The Book of Enoch, the Prophet, translated by Richard Lawrence.
Richard Lawrence.
Yeah. And it's the Secret Doctrine Reference Series by Wizard.
When was it printed? The last printed?
1883. It was San Diego. And this copy here, 1976.
If I just asked the Book of Enoch by Richard Lawrence, that should get it.
No, it's translated by it's you need to have it's copyrighted in 1976 by Wizard Bookshelf, all rights reserved. The photographic copy of the 1883 edition, New Index, 1973.
Okay. You know,
okay. Here's a, if you want to put this down, Wizard Bookshelf, Box 6600, San Diego, California, 92106, USA.
Box what?
Box 6600. Might be interesting.
I'm going to go to Brian's this afternoon and see if
I don't think they'll have it.
I wonder if they could order it.
I'd go to Barnes & Noble.
Barnes
& Noble, where I'd go. I don't think... now, they might have it over there, but I doubt it.
Well, Barnes & Noble, that's where
I'll... Yeah, I really doubt if they have it there.
Where's the title of the Book of Enoch?
The Book of Enoch, the Prophet, translated by Richard Lawrence. All right, it's only 192 pages, plus about 50 pages in the front of it, something like that. That you can read in 15 minutes, it'd be real fast. I studied it. I went back and studied the scriptures that went along with it. As I read the Book of Enoch, I just kept flashing scriptures in the New Testament just over and over again. As I studied it, I was just amazed. He was talking about Nebuchadnezzar, he was talking about all these people before they ever happened. Of course, Isaiah did the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know something? Prophecy isn't a secret to God's people, is it?
No.
Well, the Bible says, the New Testament says that God told Enoch, the seventh from Adam, what was going to happen in those days. God bless all of you today. Good to have you here. Brother Bill, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Lord, we thank you for this precious opportunity to be in your house and learn your word, Lord. We thank you for the blessings you've given us this week. And you know these people that have had praises, Lord, and the ones that need prayer, we pray that you just be with us this week. And Father, we pray that you just guide us and direct us, Lord, that we know you're close by and that you just show us the way until it's time for us to go home. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.